Hello, welcome to the Nutrition and Lifestyle blog of the LDN Research Trust. I'm Jill Brook, nutritionist, researcher, and autoimmune patient. Let's dive in. Today's question comes from an astute reader who read one of our blog articles about nutrition strategies to sleep better, and she has a follow-up question. She says, articles linked on this site stated that 240 milliliters or one cup of tart cherry juice is shown in studies to have anti-inflammatory effects and also help against insomnia. That said, 240 milliliters of tart cherry juice also has 28 grams carbs. Isn't that too high of carb intake? Is a supplement better or also okay? And here's my answer. I think you have an excellent point. And two cups of fruit juice every day may be a lot of carbohydrate for some people. To summarize the study, it found that drinking one cup of tart cherry juice in the morning and again one cup at night helped insomniacs over age 50 to sleep more, adding an average of 84 minutes of sleep time per night. That's a lot of extra sleep. The authors of the study suggested the sleep benefit possibly came from the antioxidants, melatonin, or procyanidin B2, which effectively boosts serotonin, the neurotransmitter that helps us feel relaxed and sleepy. The good news for those of us watching our carbohydrate intake is that we could get all these nutrients from lower carb food sources if desired. Antioxidants are in all colorful plant foods, with above ground veggies, herbs, and nuts being some of the best low carbohydrate choices. Melatonin is in numerous healthy foods, and low-carb superstars include mushrooms, eggs, cranberries, and pistachio nuts. Low-carb food sources of the serotonin-boosting procyanidin B2 include Ceylon cinnamon, apple peel, apple cider vinegar, grape leaf, zucchini, and cocoa powder or unsweetened dark chocolate. I'd recommend getting these nutrients from foods if possible, rather than supplements, because supplements in general have a bad track record of purity and often don't have the same benefits found in the whole food sources. Okay, so thank you for that great question. If you want to see the sources cited in the study, you can look on our website at ldnresearchtrust.org under resources in the LDN Nutrition and Lifestyle section. We have a question from Erin in Pasadena, California today. Erin says, I keep hearing about American tap water being highly polluted in many areas. Do I need to get a water filter? If so, which one? That is a great question. And my answer is that luckily there is a great resource to learn what's in your tap water and help find the best filter for your needs. The Environmental Working Group has created a tap water database where you can input your zip code, see the results of recent water testing, then get guidance on suggested water filters for your specific needs and budget. The link is at www.ewg.org/tapwater. Okay, good luck. We have a question from Amy in Los Angeles. I know I shouldn't eat sugar at night, but my family insists on setting out cookies or other treats most nights while we watch TV or sit in our backyard. How am I supposed to resist when it's sitting right in front of me for hours? Answer. Ooh, that's a tough one, especially since willpower is known to be weakest at night. I'd suggest brushing your teeth right after dinner and then finding a fun, relaxing hobby that keeps your hands busy. For example, knitting, playing games, drawing, brushing the dog, trading shoulder massages, something you can do while enjoying your family. Busy hands promote happy distractions, and that makes for easier resisting of the cookies. Okay, good luck. Trying to lose weight? Put your kitchen countertops to work. If you are trying to lose weight, here is perhaps one of the easiest things you can do. Clear your kitchen countertops of all food except maybe fresh fruit. It may have a bigger effect than you'd imagine. Get this. Cornell researchers studied hundreds of American households, recording the height and weight of each family member and the types of foods that were visible on their kitchen countertops. They found that, on average, people in homes with fresh fruit sitting out had lower body weights. People living in homes with foods like cereal, candy, dried fruit, granola bars, or soft drinks visible had higher body weights. But how much higher? 9.4 to 14.4 kilograms on average. That's not a typo. That's 20 to 31 pounds more among people with food-filled countertops. The researchers hypothesize that people are more likely to snack when food is visible and easy to grab. If that food is fresh fruit, it may promote weight loss. But if the food is more processed or calorically dense, then weight gain may follow. Granted, these were just correlational studies and don't prove that having snack foods visible caused the weight differences, but they do suggest that clearing your countertops may be worth a try. If you have extra inventory of processed foods during COVID lockdown, for example, quote, emergency snacks, unquote, or, quote, if the world as we know it is ending that I'm eating cookies, darn it, snacks, unquote, consider storing the extra in your closet, basement, or other place where you won't constantly see them. Anecdotally, lots of people are reporting gaining weight from eating their lockdown supplies, so put them where you won't always be looking at them. Out of sight, out of mind, out of mouth, off of belly. If you're curious to see the full study, it's at pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/264819-66, or it might be easier to just Google the first author's name, Brian Wansink, W-A-N-S-I-N-K, and the words obesity and kitchen countertops. Okay, good luck. Foods that can improve sleep. Life is better with great sleep. You already know that. We don't need to review all the many health implications of poor sleep because, if you're like me, they will only haunt you when you're lying awake at night feeling frustrated that you aren't asleep yet. So instead, let's dwell on some helpful findings showing us how diet, including some yummy foods, can help us sleep better. I'm going to describe some research findings, and on our website, under Nutrition and Lifestyle Research, you can find links to these studies. In one study, they found that people had worse sleep after eating foods lower in fiber and higher in sugar and saturated fat. Another study found poor sleep was associated with overeating and eating lower quality food. In one study, eating 2 kiwi fruit 1 hour before bedtime improved sleep duration, onset, and efficiency. After 4 weeks, the mean sleep duration went from 6 to 7 hours. Researchers hypothesize the effect may have come from kiwi's healthy antioxidants and serotonin, the neurotransmitter that helps make us feel relaxed and sleepy. In one study, drinking 240 milliliters of tart cherry juice in the morning and again 1 to 2 hours before bedtime improved sleep duration and efficiency in people over 50 with insomnia, possibly because of the natural melatonin in tart cherries. And one study showed that melatonin is a hormone produced in the brain at night and it helps promote sleep. Melatonin-rich foods may improve numerous aspects of health, including sleep. And melatonin-rich foods include milk, raspberries, almonds, goji berries, cranberries, and others. Finally, double-check that you aren't consuming stimulants later in the day, such as caffeine or theobromine from cocoa or chocolate. Sometimes these things can be hiding in your supplements, snacks, or desserts. I will update this list as I find more relevant research. If I've missed some, please send it my way to jill@dietforhealth.com. Good luck sleeping well and sweet dreams. Should we eat gluten? And here's my answer. I love bread as much as anyone. My idea of heaven includes an eternal all-croissant picnic. But sadly, for those of us with autoimmunity, inflammation, or neurological problems, wheat and other gluten-containing grains may be a problem. Here's why. Gluten increases intestinal permeability by opening little gates in the intestinal wall called tight junctions. This means that more of whatever is in our intestines enters the bloodstream. This seemingly little change, sometimes called leaky gut, can have huge consequences, not just for people with celiac disease, but for everyone. In 2012, Dr. Alessio Fasano published several important findings showing that excessive intestinal permeability, or leaky gut, can play a leading role in autoimmunity and inflammation. When a leaky gut allows more of our intestinal contents to enter the bloodstream, this can include bacteria, mold, toxins, undigested food particles, or other substances that our immune system may perceive as threats. When the immune system attacks, we get inflammation. If more junk in the bloodstream keeps the immune system perpetually more activated, this can cause chronic inflammation. In those of us who are susceptible, the immune system may also attack some of our own tissues, especially when we have tissues that resemble, at a molecular level, whatever was identified as the threat. When enough tissue gets damaged, we feel symptoms of an autoimmune disorder. There are over 120 different autoimmune disorders, depending on which type of tissue gets damaged. The good news about Dr. Fasano's research is that it suggests we can prevent or sometimes even halt autoimmunity and chronic inflammation by reducing intestinal permeability. Avoiding gluten is a big help in that process. Finally, in a related finding, Vodani and colleagues found that eating wheat and dairy was associated with a significantly higher likelihood of having several neurological autoantibodies present. In other words, it appears that some people's immune systems react to gluten and dairy and end up also attacking brain or nerve tissue at the same time. As someone with a debilitating autoimmune neuropathy, that sure takes the fun out of croissants for me. So that's why I commonly recommend that chronic illness patients do a 1 to 4 month trial without gluten. Many patients feel much better within days, and for those with access to gluten-free healthy starches, then you might want to just avoid gluten no matter how you feel, just to be on the safe side. Gluten-free starch alternatives include yams, sweet potatoes, corn, beans, lentils, peas, rice, quinoa, millet. For grains or baked products, look for the certified gluten-free label because equipment that processes gluten-containing grains can cross-contaminate other foods. Also, it's important to know that restaurants have a poor track record for accuracy in their gluten-free claims, especially for pizza and pasta dishes, where over half the items claiming to be gluten-free had detectable gluten. Going gluten-free can be a big hassle at first while you read labels, discover that it's in more products than you had ever imagined, and work to find alternatives. But many patients find that going gluten-free clears up many symptoms within days or weeks. If you want to learn more about this important topic, I recommend a book called The Autoimmune Fix by Dr. Tom O'Brien. He has also given some fantastic live presentations at past LDN conferences. Some of the evidence he presents is absolutely mind-blowing to me, like how autoimmune patients in the military just happened to have blood samples saved from decades prior to their immune diagnosis. So when they went back and tested the old blood samples, they found autoantibodies doing autoimmune damage years before any symptoms appeared, showing that it can take a lot of slow, steady damage to finally result in an autoimmune disorder. And we may not feel it happening. My healthy husband has not touched gluten since the day he heard that at Tom O'Brien's talk at the 2017 LDN conference. If you want to check it out, it's on the website www.ldnresearchtrust.org/conference-2017. And you have to go several videos down to Tom O'Brien's talk called Fire in the Hole, Intestinal Permeability. Okay. Good luck. Stop slathering on toxins. Many people who would never dream of eating or drinking toxic chemicals regularly ingest them through the skin, in the form of soap, lotion, sunscreen, deodorant, shampoo, and other personal care products. Synthetic chemicals in the bloodstream have been studied in pregnant women, and the findings are pretty disturbing. Studies find numerous chemicals in all participants, both contemporary chemicals and those previously banned, but which are still apparently in the environment. Many of these chemicals are known to contribute to hormone disruption, obesity, metabolic problems, cancer, sexual dysfunction, infertility, and more. Some of the worst offending ingredients are parabens, phthalates, and synthetic fragrances, but there are many others. By avoiding personal care products that are toxic, we can reduce exposure to at least some of the toxins. Here are two easy ways to find much healthier products. First, you can buy products verified by the Environmental Working Group. They do the work of reading ingredients, checking their safety, and giving a rating to each product. You can find best choices at www.ewg.org/EWGverified. Second, you could make your own products out of healthy items you may already have in your pantry. Homemade creations can be very simple, such as using unrefined coconut oil as moisturizer, or you can get as fancy as you like. There are numerous recipes online using herbs, spices, essential oils, tea, honey, and almost any healthy food you can think of. It's fun, quick, and easy, and gives you far superior products at a fraction of the cost. Here are some websites that can help get you started. To purchase fragrant and healthy ingredients and get recipes, check out www.frontiercoop.com. Some do-it-yourself shampoo recipes are at wellnessmama.com. They also have some do-it-yourself deodorant recipes. Three do-it-yourself soap recipes are at lovelygreens.com. And these just scratch the surface. There are so many online recipes for personal care products that you can find dozens for any fragrance or natural ingredient you might want to include. We may not be able to avoid all toxins, but we can at least avoid absorbing them in the very personal care products that are supposed to be making us better.